Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also were men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and the earth and the sea and all things that are in therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I'll just be honest with you. As I study the life of the Apostle Paul, I'm telling you, that guy, I've heard it said, probably the greatest Christian that's ever lived. I don't know who the greatest Christian is that's ever lived. I guess the Lord knows that. But I guess I guarantee you this, you could put Paul as one of them for sure, if not the greatest. I don't know. I don't know. There's been a lot of great Christians, a lot of people that have loved the Lord and lived their lives and suffered tremendously. But I know this, Paul was definitely one of those Christians. There's no doubt about that. This man loved the Lord. Well, if you'll remember the city of Lystra here, as we talked about last week, he went to Antioch, of course, and stayed there for a while. They ran him out of there, went to Iconium, stayed there for a long time, the Bible says. They ran him out. Now he comes to Lystra. And remember, I told you about Lystra, that it was a lawless frontier town. We know how lawless it was because they stoned him. And it was like on the frontier, like the edge of civilization for the Roman Empire. They had a Roman garrison there at Antioch, and because this was wild, remember? I said Pamphylia, all this area right here, including Perga, that was a home for pirates and bad people. And so they were just lawless, uncivilized people up there. And this is one of the most uncivilized towns that Paul ever visited right there. And so that's where he's at. He's at Lystra. Okay, and again, he's going to be stoned here in this town. But there were people that were saved there in that town as the result of the Apostle Paul. And it looks to me as if one of these, maybe the first one, I'm not sure, but it might have all started with this guy right here, verse 8, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra." Now, it's interesting because these other towns that we have looked at, Paul went to the synagogue. And there preached. Remember that? We talked about that was his method. There's no synagogue mentioned in Lystra. But there are people there in this town that were interested in the gospel as Paul preached the gospel. We don't see again that there was a synagogue there. It was a lawless town. Well, Paul is there, and it seems as if instead of going to the synagogue, because again there doesn't. It doesn't say that there was one. It seems to me from reading this that this must have been like an open-air preaching session on the street or somewhere out in the open. Paul and Barnabas would have been preaching to anybody in this city that would have listened to them. And here was a man that sat there. The Bible says that he was a cripple from his mother's womb. And the Bible says he never had walked. It's exactly what it said. But he was listening to the Apostle Paul. And the Bible says the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him. Now that's Paul looking at the crippled man and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. It was obvious that this man was responding to what Paul was preaching Because Paul was, you know, looking at the man, he perceived that this man had faith to be healed. Now, in this, in the connotation of this whole thing here, not only does it mean that he had faith to be healed physically, but there was a faith also to be saved. He was listening to the Apostle Paul intently. So, as you study this story, there was more to it. It seems like there was more to it than, and in the, you know, all the tenses that the Greek is written in. I should say it like this. It would seem as if this man had not only, that Paul perceived in him not only a faith to be healed, but a faith to be saved. And it says here, he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. Now again, the Bible doesn't say positively that this man got saved, but it leaves us with that impression here that this man had not only the faith to be healed, but he had the faith to be saved. Understand this, Paul was not just preaching about being healed. Paul was preaching about being saved. He was preaching the gospel. And this man was intently listening to the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul could tell that. I tell you this, as you go out knocking on doors, you can perceive if people are interested in what you're talking about. As you knock on their door and you hand out a tract, a lot of times they'll be nice and they'll stand there and they'll say thank you. And as they're saying thank you, they're shutting the door. Well, they're not really interested in talking anymore. Conversation's over. Sometimes they won't answer the door. We had a lady today, wouldn't even answer the door, and she hollered through, "We're not Christians." I thought, man, you're the ones that need this more than anything. She wouldn't even answer the door. And she didn't want it left on her door either. But when somebody stands there and just listens to you and just keeps standing there, then you can keep going, amen? And, you know, as we're out there, we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and give us wisdom. And we can perceive when people are interested in hearing what we have to say. And we can perceive when they're not. Well, Paul perceived that this man had faith. It says to be healed. All right. And then it says, verse 11. Now, again, Paul said, I like this. The Bible makes it very plain that Paul said with a loud voice. Remember, Paul was trying to attract a crowd here because he wanted people to hear what he was preaching. And so he said with a loud voice. He didn't just whisper in the man's ear. I can just imagine. I don't know if it was on a street or if it was out in the field somewhere. Probably a street. I imagine this man would have been a beggar because he wouldn't have had a way to get around. Probably sat out there and was, you know, asking for donations, probably. And Paul said with a loud voice so that others could hear him, "Stand upright on thy feet." And the man leaped and walked. He had never walked one time in his life. And now he leaped to his feet and walked. So you can imagine what kind of excitement that would have created there. Amen. So, and then again, these people, they see what's going on. They run in there and they say in their own language. I imagine there were people in here that spoke the common language. But like in a lot of places, there's a trade language and then there's a tribal language. And the Bible says they started saying in the speech of Lyconia. You know, a lot of times when people, if you ever talk to people and when they get real excited, they change languages. If they're from some other country or if you're in another country. My wife and I have been to Africa and I've been several places around the world. But my wife went with me to Africa and they speak French there. That's the main language, the trade language. But there are lots and lots of dialects. And when they get real excited, they'll switch from French to whatever their language is there in that area. Well, that's what happened right here. These people were excited. They thought the gods had come down to them. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But let's go here and let's do it like this. First of all, number one, Paul preached on the streets. And again, I think this probably was on the streets there or on a corner of the street or somewhere along the way there. Now, again, there's no mention of a synagogue here, but we know that there were some Jewish people living either. Now, the Bible talks about Lystra and Derbe. OK, they're not very far from each other, but it kind of puts them together. We know that we know that there was at least one Jew living there, probably more than that. But we know that there was at least one, because you go over to chapter number 16, and if you'll look there, chapter number 16. Now, this is Paul's second missionary journey. I should say it like this. I don't know if there was... I can't dogmatically say that this Jewish lady lived there on Paul's first missionary journey. But I know this. She lived there the second missionary journey. And that was Timothy's mother. Because the Bible says, Acts 16:1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Now, this is the second missionary trip, which we're still on the first one. But this is the next one that he takes. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So Timothy, anybody heard of Timothy? The young man Timothy, his mother was a Jewish lady, and they came from Derbe or Lystra, or in between here somewhere. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy, just let me read this to you, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 5, he's writing this to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 1, 5, here's what Paul says. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So there was, and again, I don't know if it was this first trip or not. Doesn't say anything about meeting them then. But on the second trip, there sure enough was at least one Jewish lady living there. And her name was Eunice, and that was Timothy's mother. I would imagine that there were other Jews also living in the area there. Let me see here. Now that comes down. Okay, Paul preached on the streets. This man here, again, had the faith to, or Paul perceived that he had the faith to be healed. Paul said with a loud voice, stand up right on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. That brings us to point number two, and that is superstition. Or I should say it like this, the nature of the superstitious people. We'll talk about the preaching of Paul on the streets first, the nature of the superstitious people. These superstitious people, they needed a special message from God. They needed to see, they needed not only to hear the message, but they needed to see something. And they did see that. God used the Apostle Paul to bring a great miracle here. Okay? And so these were superstitious people. And here's some things that we can learn about these superstitious people. First of all, superstitious people are open to faith in Christ. We got superstitious people living around here. They read the horoscope. Some people live according to that horoscope. And they believe in all kinds of superstitions. But these people will respond to the gospel. Just because they're superstitious does not mean that they won't be saved. Okay? Sometimes, hey, I've heard of people here in the United States, and I've especially heard of people around the world that live in heathen cultures, that when they were presented with the gospel, they responded, were saved, and God totally changed their life. And when we think of superstitious people, a lot of times we think of people that live in the jungles in some heathen country somewhere. But hey, they live in industrialized nations and civilized nations too. But they are open to faith in the gospel. And again, I think a perfect example is this guy that sat right there. It seems that this crippled man, now again, I don't know this positively, but it doesn't seem like that at this time, at this point in time anyway, that there was a great crowd listening to the Apostle Paul. There was one man, at least, that listened to him. And then because of that, there was something that happened in the city. There was a big crowd that gathered. And so, now this big crowd later on, at least some of them anyway, is going to end up stoning the Apostle Paul. But you can imagine when this got around town that the gods had come down to us as being superstitious people. You can imagine that these people wanted to see these gods. They wanted to know what had happened. And so it came about as a result of this man who had faith, the Bible says, to be healed. The man leaped and he walked. Now, I think this is exciting because Paul did not even touch the man. He didn't reach out and take the man by the hand. He didn't touch him. He simply spoke to the man. You see, it was not the Apostle Paul he's the human instrument, but it was the power of God and the faith that was in the man that caused this to happen. The man had to exercise his faith. He had to believe in what the Apostle Paul was preaching in order to be saved and in order to be healed. And Paul perceived that that man had faith. So we see the man of God was obedient to the will of God. He preached the message of God. This man had the faith to respond, and he did. And God honored that, and he healed this man. Whenever God does something, we have to remember that, or I should say like this, whenever God uses us to accomplish something, we must always remember we're just the human instruments. It is Him that did it. Amen? And I remind myself all the time, He can use a donkey if He wants to. That'll keep you humble. Amen? The devil would love to lift us up in pride and think, hey, man, you're what Ridgecrest needs. You're God's gift to Ridgecrest. God could send some, hey, we have chased wild donkeys in a jeep out here, not far from here, in Death Valley. God could use one of those wild donkeys out there to walk into Ridgecrest and start preaching if He wanted to, because He used one to preach to one of His men that wasn't listening. Amen. So it's God that did this, okay? So the hearts of these heathen, superstitious people are of the same nature as everybody else's heart. They're lost. They're sinners. But once they hear the gospel, they can respond to that, just like this man right here did. Then number two, superstitious people are prone to deify men. If you know anything about superstitious cultures and superstitious people, they are very ready to deify human beings. And that's exactly what these guys wanted to do. That just means they wanted to make them into gods. And again, I've mentioned this before, but the myth was that two gods had come. And these gods had come to that part of the world, Lystra, looking for those that would receive them and be good to them. And the whole world rejected them. That part of the world rejected them. There's only a peasant and his wife that acknowledged them and received them, and those gods blessed that peasant and his wife, and then they left. And so these men came when they saw what happened through the power of God and the healing of this crippled man, that being superstitious anyway, they believed that those gods had come back again. And they believed that it was Barnabas and Paul out there. They believed that that's who it was. And so they were not going to make the same mistake again and reject them. They wanted their blessings. And they wanted the benefits that would come in receiving these gods. And so that's exactly the attitude that they have. And so they wanted to deify these two men. And again, number three, superstitious people believe myths. And this was a myth. You know, the heathen people still believe in myths. They believe in all kinds of things. Superstitious people, heathen people, and again, they don't have to live out in the jungles of Africa. They can live in Ridgecrest, California, and still believe in all kind of myths. Just things that they've heard, things that are not true, things that have been passed down from generation to generation. Well, these heathen mistook what the Apostle Paul did for him doing it through his own power. And then they were going to sacrifice. I mean, they were going to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. And so Paul and Barnabas run in there. And that brings us to now the message to the superstitious people. God allowed Paul to do this to get their attention, to bring a crowd here. And now the Apostle Paul is going to him and Barnabas. Look at verse 14. When the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among them, among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also were men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. In other words, they were ready to sacrifice to them, but Paul preached to them a message, and that message caused them to not offer those sacrifices unto them. Here was the message. Paul cried out, and he preached exactly what these heathen people needed to hear. That's what a preacher is supposed to do. And I'll tell you this, if you're going to tell people the truth, you're going to have to ask God for boldness. And you're going to have to ask God to make you courageous. Because you know people don't like the truth. They don't like you telling them, thus saith the Lord. They don't like the truth. But it doesn't matter. The truth has never been popular, but the truth has always been right. And that's what people need to hear. People don't like to, and again, I've said this before, but we can do it in a nice way. We can. We don't have to be ugly and, you know, contentious about it. We can tell them the truth. And then however they respond, that's up to them. But Paul preached what these heathens needed to hear. These people were ignorant of the scriptures. So Paul had to approach them on the basis of the living God which made heaven and earth. Paul just started right from Genesis 1:1 and told them about God which made the heaven and the earth. These people didn't know the scriptures. They were superstitious. They were lost people. That's where we need to start, amen, in our explanation of the gospel. We need to take time to explain to people what it is that they need to hear. Don't be in a hurry. Don't try to rush through something. We need to take all the time that's necessary to explain to people. Hey, if you have to start at Genesis 1:1 and bring them all the way up to the book of Romans, then do it. And if you have to take a lot of time, it's worth taking the time. Paul started there with God. He's the one that made heaven and earth. Now, here's what Paul preached. He started there with the living God, which made heaven and earth. And he preached this. Number one, men are only men. That's what the heathen needed to hear. We're not gods. We also are men of like passions with you. That means he's preaching to them, hey, we're of the same nature that you are. Our flesh is just like your flesh. Now, that shows you what kind of man the Apostle Paul was, because he's one of the greatest men that ever lived. But he is saying, hey, we're just like you are. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul was saved. Amen. But he was saying that we're men, just like you are men. Then he said this. He said not only are all men only men, he said that there is only one living God. The people were worshiping man-made idols. And the people were worshiping men that they had deified. Go back and look at the heathen worship of the world, and you're going to see all kinds of men that people have deified. That's why they got bodies of women and, you know, all kind of other things, or men and other things, because they've made gods out of those people. They're either worshiping an idol or they were worshiping some kind of man-made god. But Paul says to them, there is only one God. Then he says that this one living God is the creator of all things. He says there, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. That's what they needed to hear. Then he said that God permitted men to walk as they willed. Paul preached the free will of man. There are some that says this. You cannot believe in the sovereignty of God and the free will of man at the same time. Yes, you can, because that's what the Bible teaches. Amen. Yes, God is sovereign. But the free will of man, what does that mean? That means that you can say yes to God or you can say no. That means you can choose to accept the gospel message or you can choose to reject the gospel message. And that's what Paul is saying. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. And so now listen here. He was saying men worship the empty things of earth because God has given man a free will. Man is allowed to walk in his own ways. God suffers, that is, allows, or puts up with man, but yet God wants man to put their trust in Him. I wonder how many times you said no to the Lord before you said yes. And God put up with you and put up with me. And God was long-suffering towards us. I use those words, put up with. You understand what I mean. God allows us to go our own way. Have you ever read that verse that says this? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God will let people do what they want to do up to a point. And I don't know what that point is, but I know this. The Bible says there is a sin unto death. And I know this. God will not let people just continually drag the name of Jesus Christ through the mud. It won't happen. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter number 5? They lied to God and God said, that's it. Now, I'm not God. I don't know when that point is. I don't know. But I know this. I've heard testimonies of lots of people who have said this. God was dealing with my heart. I knew I needed to be saved, but I just said no. I held on to that pew and I would not let go and I wouldn't go down forward. And I've heard them say that. And then how God was gracious to them in allowing them to live until they finally trusted Christ as their Savior. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach here. He is saying that there's only one God here, and He has let man walk in his own ways, but yet God is the one that made everything, and God wants men to trust Him as their Savior. Then he says this, God has always given witness to Himself. I like this. He said, nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness. Paul is saying no man has ever been left without witness. There is evidence. There is the evidence of good in the world. That's what the Apostle Paul said, in that he did good. There's the evidence of rain. There's the evidence of fruitful seasons. There's the evidence of filling our hearts with food and gladness. In other words, God has not ever left Himself without witness because of His goodness. Because of the rain that He sent, because of all the things that He did, people have no excuse not to know that there is a God. Romans says, so that they are without excuse. You cannot walk outside tonight and look in the heavens and not know that somebody put those stars out there. And the Bible says that Christ is the light that lighteth all men that cometh into the world. That's what it says. And so that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach here. And again, he's talking to these superstitious people. Paul is trying to tell them that this living God, which created heaven and the earth and the sea and all that therein, He is the one behind all the good things that happen to man. All the rain, God's the one that allows that. The fruitful seasons and all the things that you enjoy, this living God that I'm preaching about, He is the reason for all of that. And then Paul here, after preaching that, they listened to him here, and they did not, I say listened, I don't know that they, well, some of them did, obviously, but I don't know how many of them did. Some of them responded to what he was preaching, because again, we've read that he went back to this city in just a little while, confirming the souls of the disciples. So obviously some folks had gotten saved there. Well, verse 19, there came Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and they persuaded the people. In other words, they talked to the people. They persuaded them that Paul and Barnabas were not who they said they were not what they claimed to be, and they had enough influence on them that they stoned the Apostle Paul. Now, I have seen a video, it wasn't a video I really wanted to watch, but I watched it, a video that was made in Africa. It was a secret video of them stoning people to death. And then I've seen a video of Saddam Hussein, a video that they made to terrorize the people in Iraq of them stoning people to death. Those are not pretty videos to watch. But I know this, being stoned to death is a horrible thing, a horrible thing. And they literally stoned the Apostle Paul until they thought he was dead. And they dragged him out of the city. Now, it's already 7:05, so I'm not going to continue. Well, I'm going to just give you three more points here, but I want to start right here next week, and then we will make reference over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, where I think the Apostle Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, an experience that happened in this time period right here. I believe that the Apostle Paul died and that he was carried to the third heaven. I believe that Paul is the man. He said, I knew a man in Christ. You got to read verse 1 of chapter number 12, and you got to understand the life of Paul. Paul didn't boast about himself. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, he had to defend himself because his apostleship and his authority was questioned, and he had to defend himself. And one way that he did that was by telling them about these revelations that the Lord had given him and these extra special spiritual things that had happened to him. But he didn't boast in himself. He used it to talk about the Lord. And I think that he in him not wanting to boast about himself, he didn't even write it in the first person. He wrote it as if it happened to somebody else. But I think you read verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and he uses the word I think it's very obvious that he's talking about himself. And I think he died. And he was called up to the third heaven. And he couldn't even tell anybody what he had seen or what he had heard. Because, see, the Apostle Paul needed something from God at this time. And God gave it to him. And God raised him back up. Those words there, he rose up. After you're stoned, you don't just get back up. I mean, that's a miracle. God literally raised him from the dead right there. And the Bible says, and came into the city. I mean, he got up and went to the city. And the next day, he went on to Derby. That's an amazing thing. But we'll look at that. But as we finish here, talk about the minister. The minister needed to reach the heathen and this superstitious people. Three things about Paul that are examples to us as ministers are those who would serve the Lord. The minister must be willing to suffer persecution in order to help people. You know, the more you help people, the more, well, I should say it like this. The more we do for the cause of Christ in spreading the gospel of Christ, the more the devil hates it. And the more he's going to oppose us. He's not going to be happy about it. The Bible says this, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that doesn't mean we're all going to be stoned, but there is going to be some kind of persecution for those who live for the Lord, whether it be, you know, words or physical or whatever. We have to be willing to go through that in order to help people. And then the minister must be faithful in witnessing and in making disciples. That's exactly what they were doing. And then the minister must trust God for his delivering power. We must trust God that he knows what he's doing. And if that comes to us here, if it gets worse and worse, we have to trust God that he knows what he's doing. And he's going to take care of us. And he has the power to deliver us however he wants. And I'm reminded of the three Hebrew children. Remember those guys? As they were standing there before Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, God is able to deliver us. And they knew this. God was going to deliver them. Either he was going to deliver them from the fire, or he was going to deliver them through the fire. But either way, God was going to deliver them. And I think that's a good example for us. Amen. The Apostle Paul was willing to suffer. And he was willing to suffer martyrdom to help these people hear the gospel of Christ. And you read 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. You know, the Bible says that Paul was beaten with 39 stripes 5 times. That's 195 times. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. I mean, all kind of, and I was reading today about 2 Corinthians chapter 12 there when he asked the Lord to take away that thorn in the flesh there. And God said, my grace is sufficient. And I've talked about this, but I never had thought about this till today. I personally think it had something to do with his eyesight because he mentions that. And I read something today that is, you know, made me think. I don't know if Paul had bad eyesight before this, but I know this. You get beat up, you get beat with rods, you get beat 195 times, you get beat with rods, you get stoned. Some of those stones are going to hit you in the head because that's where they're going to be aiming. Paul's eye problems, I don't know this for sure, but it could have been from all the persecution that he suffered. Very possibly. And he asked the Lord to take that away, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." So the Apostle Paul was willing to go through whatever the Lord wanted him to go through to tell these people the gospel. This is an exciting story here. And I sure am glad that God raised him from the dead and kept using him. Amen. I'm excited about that. Well, let's all stand. Thank the Lord that Paul preached what these people needed to hear. Some of them responded. We don't know how many. But God used a great miracle used Apostle Paul to bring about a great miracle, which set this whole thing up so these people could be there to hear the gospel. What a great God we serve. Amen? Amen. It's exciting to be saved and to live for the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for just allowing us to study your word. I pray, Lord, that you would give us boldness. And I pray that we would all stand for you and that we would all, Lord, have the opportunity to tell others about Christ and to see people saved. And I pray, God, that you'll use our church here in a great way in Ridgecrest, not only to reach our community, but our state and our country and our world. Lord, we pray that you'd just, again, bless us and give us opportunities to be used of you in Jesus' name. Miss Vicki's going to play just one stanza of something here. And if God spoke to your heart tonight, I pray that you'll respond to the Lord.